Thank you for tuning in to the weekly podcast from San Jacinto Assembly of God in Amarillo, Texas. If you'd like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.sjag.church. Now, here's this week's message.
You know, I walked outside last week. My wife had gave me and told me the news of the fact that Christmas Day is going to be like 70 degrees. And when I walked out thinking about that, I thought this must be what it feels like in Arizona for Christmas or somewhere else that the weather is warm and it's just kind of hard to get into Christmas spirit wanting the snow. But we're not going to get snow this year. But I know this much, that Christmas is about Jesus. Amen? And so hopefully you can bring that around in your hearts and your spirit to get in that Christmas spirit of that season that we're in. You know, have you ever heard the saying, everything happens for a reason? You know, it's one of those sayings that some would agree with and others would disagree with. Not for sure where I would be on that matter, but I do believe things do happen to us in life. Some would say all things have happened by chance. I would have to disagree with that. Just by chance. I believe in divine appointments scheduled by God. I believe God has that moment in our life that He brings divine appointments into. You know, that moment you got to share the gospel with someone. You've always been in that, you know, God says share with him or her. Or that person that popped into your life and you ended up being saved. How many know that was a divine appointment from God that you heard the message of Jesus that day? God loved you that much that He sent somebody into your circle and shared Jesus. Or that person in need that you had just what they needed when they needed it. I believe that's divine appointments that God has in our lives. Or that invitation you accepted or denied that God gave. All those moments in our life, I believe God has those moments that He speaks into our life, He brings people into our life, or He sends us into somebody's life. I believe it has been ordered by the Lord, and God orders such things. What do you mean? The one that has created all that we see, the universe that we see, all the stars and the spectacular sunsets and all that, cares that much about each one of us? Yes, He does. He cares that much to send somebody into your life, or He cares that much to have everything ordered for you. I also believe the enemy, the devil, schedules appointments in our lives. Temptations. Look at Eve. Or even look at Christ when He spent 40 days and nights in the wilderness. He had an appointment. He says, I'm not going to come to Jesus when He's full and He's healthy. I'm going to come at the end of the 40 days. I believe that was all scheduled out. That the enemy looks for that moment he thinks that we're at our weakest point and weakest part of our journey. I believe he has appointments for you and me. He tries to bring doubt and destroy even fear to help us to be surrendered or paralyzed to do God's work, that we are afraid to go forward because he tries to paralyze us with doubt or fear. I believe those are not accidents, but those are planned out in our lives. After all, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may destroy. There are also those divine times when God does something in this world that affects not just one individual, but all of mankind. Those moments, I feel that we're at the door of one of those moments that God's going to do something in this world that's going to affect all mankind. I believe His coming is close. I believe it's all just nigh. Oh, I believe that we best be ready to go up because God has got something else on the mind that's going to affect every mankind. I believe God is that. And I believe He has those events. This event leaves no doubt. The one that we're looking at I have people tell me, well, you know, this is really not the Lord's birthday. I know that. They'll say, well, he wasn't really born in December. I get that. But let me tell you, what we celebrate is the event. This whole season was to take place of some pagan worship to direct mankind in a different direction. But I believe as we look at this event, we must understand this is something that God had planned way in advance. And I believe this event is one of those things that did not happen by chance or by accident, but I believe it was a God-appointed moment. And whatever moment, whatever hour, whatever day, whatever month it took place, God had appointed that for that very moment. Just as much as He knew the day that you would breathe your breath when you was born that day, He knew exactly what day, what time, how many hours it would be, because He is that way. He is God. I believe sometimes we need to be reminded of the scripture of Psalms 118:23. Says this was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. What we're talking about this morning is Christmas. What we're talking about is a Savior that was born in a manger. What are we talking about? We're talking about something that God put together and God had planned. And all of a sudden, at God's timing, it came about. That's God. And sometimes we don't think God can take care of us. May I say, it was a well-planned event that we celebrate. We celebrate it this morning. We celebrate it every year. The birth of Christ our Savior. Let's read Luke chapter 2. I'm sure if you've been in Sunday school class or you've been around much areas where you're meeting, you've heard the Christmas message more than once. But this morning, let's read the first 7 verses in the book of Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place from Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Let's pray. Lord, today we thank You as we come together, Lord, this morning in this place. We thank You, Lord, for Your presence. We thank You for this time that we can look at the story of Your birth. Lord, we're praying today that You just open our hearts, God. And may we see it this morning for the miraculous event that it was. And Lord, how it has changed our life, changed all of mankind. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When we think about this, and as my title says, a well-planned event. Have you ever been to a place when you think, well, let's show up, and it's not well planned out, and you think, well, are we really having the party, or is anybody showing up? You ever been to one of those places? Can I say today that God is not that way? God is well planned in everything He does. I got a phone call one day that the invitation had already been made for a wedding for our church to take place in this sanctuary. And I asked the young man, who did you talk about or talk to this? Oh, nobody. We just decided to have it there. And I go, really? I think you should ask somebody in the church before you decide to plan something else. I mean, you know, that's not a smart thing when you need a venue. You should talk to the people that own it or the people that run it or at least get on the schedule or the master calendar and think about it. I'm telling you the truth here. Listen, with God, the venue had been selected centuries in advance. I know sometimes we think about this story and we think, really, why? Couldn't God not plan it out a little better than a manger? But let me tell you, that's exactly where God wanted it to be. That's exactly how He wanted His Son, His Son to come in to the world. And oftentimes we think, well, that's just by accident, that's by chance that the inn was full. No, it wasn't. This is exactly what God had planned. How about the city? Micah 5:2 says this. See, Bethlehem was the exact location in God's mind. Micah 5:2, but you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you will come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old and from everlasting. Micah, listen, this is interesting to me. Micah was written 700 years prior to the birth of Jesus Christ. 700 years prior to that, God says, I'm going to put a reservation into Bethlehem and my son is going to be born there. This is not by chance nor accident. You mean we serve a God that can plan that far out? Yes, I'm telling you we can. We serve a God that was in the aisle or the Garden of Eden when He says, hey, I'm already prophesying my son's going to be coming. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. He said He's going to crush the head of the serpent. God is that far in advance in planning things. And we find that when it came to this moment of this time for His Son to come, it's an amazing thought that He can do something that far out. Again, we can say in Psalms 118:23, this was the Lord's doing. And it's marvelous in our eyes. I've been around people that are planners. Most of them stress out when things don't go just right. I can be that way. I got up at the wrong time, so I got to get over my stress. But I'm saying today, I've been around type of people like that, but God wasn't stressed about it. You know why He was not stressed? Let me tell you something. If God said it, so be it. If God said it's going to happen, it's going to happen. He said, I'm going to have Bethlehem for the place of my boy, my son to be born, to be incarnated at that moment. Let's put this into perspective a little bit in our real time that we live in. I have listened to the weatherman in the panhandle of Texas. I've made my mind up. I will not cancel any services on what they say the day before or the day before that. I have canceled events on Saturday, and I've canceled church because we're supposed to have a snowstorm and get up that morning and nothing happens. And I don't know if you figured out pastors have a hard time canceling services. I'm the most miserable man there is when we can't have church on Sunday. And so I've made my mind up. I can't depend on the weatherman that cannot predict the weather 3 days out. Oh, they can get the wind right in the panhandle. Just about anybody can do that. But as far as the weather goes, that's a different story. Did you know there's a group of people or there's some computer nerds that can, they've came up with a program and that can actually predict the score of a Super Bowl game? Now that's amazing, right? But can I tell you something that's more amazing is for a prophet named Micah to say, hey, in 700 years, there's going to be a baby that's going to be born in Bethlehem. And this is going to be the Son of God. To predict that far out is totally amazing. What we predict is just short-term things. God has predicted a lot of things that have come to pass, and He's able to do it. So when we think about this moment, this time that we're celebrating right here, it's more than a Christmas tree. I love Christmas trees, and it's more than presents and different things like that. It's the fact that we must understand, and it must bring some kind of marvel or some kind of wonder in our spirit when God can say 700 years out that in Bethlehem, Jesus is coming. Who is that? That's our God. And we worry that He can't help us out 30 days from now. And you know, can I tell you this morning, he knows exactly what I'm doing 30 days from now. I don't. And I'm glad he doesn't tell me. Because sometimes I probably wouldn't want to be there. Now, my thought is this, if man, but with computers and limited knowledge, can do such a thing, why is it so hard for us to believe God can prophesy something and bring it to pass? Why is it so hard for us to believe that? You know, there's a lot of Christians that don't think there's going to be a rapture. Can I tell you, they're going to find out that's wrong. There's a lot of Christians and some that will say, hey, this is heaven. They're going to find out this wrong. Some don't think Jesus is coming back on that white stallion, and they're going to find out that's wrong. How can I say that? Because it's in the living Word of God that changeth not. And God has said it, so therefore it will happen. And it's high time, I think, church, that we start to understand if God has spoke it, we need to understand that it's going to come to pass. You say, you believe there's a heaven? Yes, I do. I believe that God said there's a place that I can go, that I'm going to live for eternity. Hallelujah. There'll be no more pain, no more hurt there, no more parting there. Do I believe it? Yes, I do. Why? Because my God, my Father, my Lord has said such a thing. It's going to happen because God has said it. So more than just thinking about a Christmas tree and presents, maybe we should reflect a little bit of the fact that God has brought it to pass. And let that stir our hearts up a little bit. Listen to what Jeremiah 32:27 that is penned for you and me. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Now listen to what he says. Is there anything too hard for me? Anything too hard for me that we can use? Listen, Bethlehem was a town of no significance. It wasn't a place that anybody said, hey, let's go to Bethlehem. They got a lot going on in Bethlehem. It was so little it couldn't even be numbered among the thousand. A town with the name that foreshadowed, however, the Lord, because Bethlehem stands for the house of bread. And Jesus that we spoke of in Sunday school this morning spoke of the fact that He is the bread. And He spoke of the bread of life coming into Bethlehem. The name itself, God says, I'm bringing a meal that is satisfying unto mankind if they will but receive it, Jesus Christ. The town of Bethlehem. Jesus 6:35 says, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Bethlehem was forever put on the map as the birthplace of Jesus Christ. Forever. Put on the map. You know, we see that often. You go to Parrot and they talk about a baseball player that came out of the small town, so his name's up on the water tower. We know what this means, but Bethlehem, if you go, it is the place of the birth of Christ. Amazing place that Jesus came in likeness of man. What we find here is talking about that manna from above that satisfies for eternity. Can I tell you this morning, there's a lot of people that are trying to quench their hunger with money and material things, lust or whatever it may be, but Christ is the only thing that will fill that spot. Where does it come? It comes in that manger. Came to Bethlehem where Christ was born. Another thing that I find out about this story is that when God orchestrates an event, it will encompass some amazing things. If I was to ask you this morning about something that God done in your life, you'd have to say it's amazing. It's amazing when God speaks. Think about that just for a moment. If you've ever heard God speak to you in a soft, quiet voice, that's an amazing thing. Why? Because the God of all has took a moment to speak into your soul and into your spirit. An amazing thing. For one thing, in this story, we have a hallmark moment that threatens the success of this event. Now, how many have been watching Hallmark movies? Or maybe the Great American Channel now that's more godly in the way they present their stories over. We've started a few a while back, and they're good. But we all know the plot, right? If you can get up and go wash the dishes and come back and catch up with it. I haven't tried that, but you can do that. I'm just saying we all know what's going to happen because it's a Hallmark story. And when we think about this event, there's an amazing thing that has to take place in order for all of it to happen. And God is doing an amazing thing. Here we read the words without much thought. It says, betrothed wife. In other words, she was engaged. She wasn't married, she was engaged. And when you get engaged, then you had a period there that you went through, and it was just as if you were married. But we read in Matthew on this, the miracle about the miracle itself. Joseph was finding out that Mary was expecting. What happened? If in the engagement period, if the woman had a relationship with someone else, it was still considered an adulterous relationship because she had already made a covenant vow with that man. And so that was considered adultery. And she finds out, or he finds out, that there's a baby in the network. Let me tell you, that's a Hallmark moment. There's the problem. The problem is, will they stay together or what will happen? And we know what's the miraculous thing about it is Joseph sought to put her away silently because he loved her enough not to shame her or embarrass her. So he sought to put her away, and all of a sudden God says, I've got to get something happening here. No, I think he knew already what was going to take place. But yet he sent an angel to talk to Joseph and said, hey, that which is conceived in Mary is of the Holy Spirit. What happened? God reached out and solved the problem in the relationship. That's a miraculous thing in itself, because Joseph believed the story. But he still had to make a choice. Can I tell you this morning, when God clarifies something in your life, you still must make a choice. Amen? God speaks, and then we make choices on what God speaks into our spirit. And this is what had to take place in this story. Mary had to make the choice to say, okay, so be what you've said. And then Joseph had to make the choice in the story. And we find him doing that in Luke 2. Can I tell you this morning, God is still in the fixing problems. He still can do miraculous things when problems surface. He's still able to help relationships when they get into trouble, when we will just seek Him and ask Him. God still works amazingly in areas. Another thing that I believe in this message or in this story that we find is Christmas, as we look at these different things, that God brings in some amazing things, is that God used normal people to fulfill His prophecy. Normal people to fulfill His prophecy. Look at what happened in this story. The character, Caesar, and he was an ungodly man. He says, I want to take a census of everybody. Did you know that was the hand of God? Gathering them in the right place. And then we have the story of Joseph, the story of Mary. And we even have the story of even the donkey that she rode in on. I'm just saying, all these things, sometimes we think God is going to raise up somebody spectacular in order to fulfill His will. But I want to encourage somebody in the church this morning is that God can use ordinary people to accomplish some amazing things for the kingdom of God. And somewhere we forget that. We think that, oh, God's wanting me to preach or speak, and I got to be all eloquent about my words and different. No, all I got to do is say yes. God may be speaking to your heart, and I want to encourage you that God used ordinary people to do a miraculous thing to fulfill the will of His in this moment. What is that? That a Savior can come into the world. I'm telling you, that's a pretty powerful thing when we think who God used to bring in the Son of God. God can use the ordinary Because one of the biggest things the devil is going to tell you, you don't have what God, you don't have what it takes in order to do what God wants you to do. I got to encourage you this morning. Trust God. Come on, trust God. Because God can take you. God can use you. We need a time that we're living in, and this is not in my message this morning, but we're living in a time that we need some ordinary people to step out by faith. To step up. We're living in a world, especially in America today, that needs some ordinary people to be used by God to fulfill what He needs to do in our country. I am so thrilled when I hear the young people having revival and the campus is getting on fire for God. And you know what my question is? Why not us? Why not me? Why can't I have that? God is using ordinary people all the time to do miraculous things. And we find that in this story. And what makes it happen is they all do what God asked them to do. They all was willing to step out by faith and say, God, I don't know how, I don't know where I'm going to get the ability, but they were all willing to go and step out and let God. Can I tell you, when you step out, you find something happens every now and then, is that God's anointing comes upon you and you start to feel a little surge of power and you start to feel the presence of God and God starts to use you. And somebody may be like old Smith Wigglesworth's wife after he got filled with the Holy Ghost and finally got what it meant, that he stepped up, he says, and she told him when he got back from this revival he went to, if you've got it, get up there and preach. He had never been able to preach a word. But when he got up there, the Holy Ghost came upon him and he preached. Oh, he preached and the house came down. And afterwards, his wife says, I don't know who you are, but you're not my Smith Wigglesworth. What am I saying today? When God's anointing comes upon you, you're able to do something you never thought you could do because God is able to help you. God is able to do amazing things in our lives. Ordinary people have spoke God's word and amazing things have happened. See, God is not looking for the qualified. Come on, He's ready to qualify. And all it takes is stepping out and believing God. We got ordinary people that are part of the most amazing story that's ever taken place in mankind. Ordinary people. Or how many of you think we got some ordinary people in San Jacinto? Amen? That God can use in some amazing ways. So we find this in this story. Today is no different. God is still looking. He uses ordinary people and God uses them to perform what He said would happen. I believe God is using ordinary people right now to usher in the second coming of Jesus. I believe this. You may think about AI just a little bit. I'm just going to throw this out there. But I think AI is going to have a big part of the second coming. And it's going to have a big part after all of us are out of here. It's going to have a big part. I believe it with all my heart. And I'm not trying to prophesy to you. And you may say, well, I think Pastor Billy may have said that. I don't know if he said it or not. I'm not one to say, hey, I hear the word saying this or that all the time, but I will tell you, I believe in my spirit what I'm feeling, that AI is going to have a big part of the second coming of the Lord. What is he going to do? Mark the beast? I have no idea how everything's going to work, but I know that whole system can present a lie that is totally believable. And I know that's what 2 Thessalonians speaks of. So it's going to be a big part. I think the more you see that develop, and I'll get on with my message, the more you see that developed, the closer we're getting to the coming of Jesus. Come on, I'm just about to shout. When we start to think about everything taking place. But here in the story that we find here is people, or God's using ordinary people under the radar to fulfill His ultimate will, was to bring the Savior to mankind. Come on. We see all kinds of people in the Christian world that are like famous and all that. But God uses many times those that are unknown, those that have no particular skills, to fulfill His will in what He wants to do. Come on, I want to encourage you this morning. Trust God, because He's wanting to use you. Another amazing thing to me is deity has been born to man through woman. Deity. Mary knows this. She had a conversation with an angel. Says the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you, and you're going to conceive, and that which comes from you will be the Son of God. His name shall be Jesus. The name Jesus actually means Savior. An amazing thing, deity, coming through the seed of woman. We find that in Luke chapter 1, verses 31, 33, it says, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest." Who is that? The Son of God. Man, but God. Fully God and fully man. Talking about Christ. That's an amazing thing to me. He will be great, and it says after that is that, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob for just a short moment. No, forever. Can I tell you what happened on the cross of Calvary and him going into the grave and being risen was all for you and me, and there's just been a little divine wait period for him to come back and reign forever. But he's coming. That 7-year tribulation is to deal with Israel, and he's going to set his kingdom up forever. I'm just saying today, let's get it all into Scripture. Joseph knows him as the Son of God and even knows his name. We find in Matthew 1, 20 and 21, "But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, the son of David, do not be afraid to take you marry your wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Spirit." He knew who Jesus was. He knew the name. Can I tell you, Micah sheds a little more light on what child this is. In Micah 5:2, "Yet a ruler of Israel whose origins are in the distant past will come from you on my behalf." A ruler of Israel from the distant past. Now, that's fine if you're reading a history book, but the fact is, what Micah is saying, a ruler that has always been will come. In other words, he that was always God is still God that has came through the manger, the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't just start in that manger, he has always been. And that's a key thing to understand, that He was God that came for you and me. He has always been God. No matter what a billboard says on I-40 or I-27, Jesus is God. And always been God. Hallelujah! That's what Micah is speaking. From distance past, we have a leader that's coming. And His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. No matter what the Muslims say or any other religion, He is God that gave His life upon Calvary, surrendered His human body, that you and I may have that atonement we talked about this morning. Hallelujah. I'm about to get Pentecostal. Hallelujah. I think about it, and sometimes we just think, well, the Christmas tree and the presents, but sometimes we need to reflect on the miraculous thing that took place. All that God went through in the planning of the event. I went to a birthday party for my great niece yesterday and my nephew Jake, and I just wanted to be there for him. And they planned a party out, and they had pink stuff everywhere because she's a little girl. But boy, he cooked some good pulled pork. That made my day to have good food. But it was there. But everything was planned out. And it all went great. Presents came in and people came in. I'm saying today, oh, we ought to rejoice in the fact that God planned something else that was so great for you and me. And I thank God for the bread of life that came down in Bethlehem that fed my soul and filled me up. Hallelujah. Because of Jesus came. Woo! God is good. Amen. Oh, the bread of life that comes in us. Hallelujah. That bread, oh my word, it's more than a family meal. It's eternity in our hearts and our lives. Jesus is God. Oh, John 1:3 says, all things were made by Him. Without Him, not anything made that was made. In other words, He's always been and always will be. Oh, He was part of that, speaking into darkness and watching things come forth. He was part of that when it says, let us make man. Oh, let us do this. Who is the us? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He's always been about us. That's Jesus. Hallelujah. Colossians 1:16 says this, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him, listen to this, by Him, who? Jesus that came in this manger, by Him all things consist. How important is Jesus Christ to mankind? We're His very creation. We exist because He has created. We exist because He loved us enough. And now we get to exist for eternity because He loved us enough to give us life and life abundantly. I thank God for that revelation of it. I thank God for this moment that we celebrate in Christmas. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. He does not change. Can I tell you this morning, this child we're talking about is amazing. All that brought Him in is an amazing thing. All that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit took time to put in order and to bring this child at this moment in the exact place that He spoke of is an amazing thing. Last thing that kind of wows me is that God would be born in a stable. Let me ask you, have you ever spent much time in an animal pen? We know when you walk around an animal pen, you step and you go, oops, what is that? Hay there, the stench is there. All that's around. And guess who came? It was born there in that place. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Can I tell you this morning that sometimes the church needs to get over itself. Well, that person just doesn't smell right. Come on, I'm just going to be straight up with you. If my Savior can be born in a stable, I can take time and love on somebody who's not quite like me. Amen? I've had some folks in my car. I had one man in my car that literally I had to roll the window down because I didn't think I was going to make it. I loved him. But I'm going to tell you, sometimes we need to get beyond ourselves and get over ourselves and realize that our King and our Savior came right there in the stable. He could have been born in the biggest house there was in Bethlehem because He's the Son of God. But He chose to come in at the lowest of low. My mother, she used to get mad at me when I'd tell everybody, why don't you tell Mom, He's born in a dugout. You know, some say, well, she's born in a barn. But I said, Mom, you're born in a dugout. But I'm going to tell you, our Savior was born in a stable. That's where He was born. He took His first breath in a stable. What an amazing thing when you think about it. What an amazing place to give birth. I've been in some birthing rooms at the BSA hospital and also at Northwest. And some of you ladies have been there. And it's much better than a stable. Clean, and they're going to feed you a steak maybe. I don't know if you can eat it, but But Mary gave birth to the King of Kings in a stable. This is amazing in itself that he would arrive in such an environment. Well, Pastor, that's just by accident. No, I've already said it wasn't by accident. It was a well-planned moment for the Son of God to come in and to come in such a poor, lowly way in the stable because his parents were poor. There he was born. But yet it reflected Jesus' life, the 33 years and a half that he walked upon earth as a humble servant. One that was pleasing unto the Father. One that was walked in humility. Matter of fact, one of the last meals that he had on earth, he got a bucket or a little pan with some water in it. And he looked at these 12 guys that had been walking with him around that table. And he put that pan down. And he says, I'm going to wash your feet. Can I tell you that's one of the most humblest things that you can do is to wash a person's feet. And you say, well, mine aren't that dirty. Listen, when you walk around in sandals all the time in the dirt, your feet are going to be dirty. And who was this? He got down on his knees with a towel and washed their feet. And Peter says, not me, Lord. And the Lord explained to him, then Peter, you know, he overreacts. He says, oh, wash out of me. And Jesus says, oh, that's too much. But we find the story. What is it? He is still showing humility is to be in the house of God. Humility is to be in the place of servanthood. Matter of fact, he told some of them that's wanting to be the greatest. He said, the one that serves will be the greatest. What do we find with Christ? Just as he started in that humble manger, he finished the walk the same way with humility. What do we find? Do you know there wasn't anybody more powerful than Jesus Christ walking on the planet of earth? You want to find power in God? Be humble. Be humble. You know, some of the hardest thing to do is when someone treats you like a servant. I've had some of those moments. I remember when Greg Wynn, he's went on to be with the Lord, but me and him had a deal over a stupid microphone. Boy, that was expensive. He didn't want to use my mic because he's afraid I was going to give him something. I can't remember what it was. But anyhow, we had a little moment of humility. And I thought, well, I'm the pastor. You're going to use what I tell you to. And then the Lord goes, you know, sometimes we need to remember when people treat us like servants, our Lord was a servant. And he gave us the example of humility. And we find this throughout his walk. Would he stand up for Christ? Yes. Or for God's word? Yes, he would. He would be bold. Would he stand up for when things were are going against what the Father wanted? Yes, he would. Would he stand up against hypocrisy? Yes. But he was a humble servant. We find this moment marked that moment. What a Savior we had that could relate to the poorest of poor because he came in as the poorest of poor. I disagree with teachings from prosperity preachers that, oh, Jesus had all kinds of money. I disagree with you. Jesus himself said he didn't have a place to lay his head. If you make your Christianity all about money, then you made it about the wrong thing. Jesus made it about humility. And humility comes from within. Every one of us in the room can have a humble spirit if we just let it happen. It's something that's free, but it's something that we'll try to rise up and counteract that. But Jesus stayed humble his whole walk. And it's something that when you find that, we find that there's power in it. Isaiah 9, verses 6 through 7, as I finish, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government and peace. There will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from this time forward, even forever. Now listen to what the last word said. It says, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. Come on, God said it, and it's going to happen. God said that a son of God was coming in Bethlehem. The zeal of the Lord performed it, and it took place. Has God spoke something into your life this morning? Can I tell you, the zeal of the Lord will bring it to pass. Believe it. Live like it. Now, don't go professing it to everybody and then they say, well, where's that house that you said you had? But live by what God has told you. So there are two things in closing amazing to me about the Christmas story. Is this it? God said it, and it came to pass just as He said. Come on. I said 700 years for Micah. Can I tell you, the prophecy started in Genesis chapter 3:15. That was 4,000 years. Right at 4,000 years before it came to pass. That was even with the flood at 2,000. That's even with God knowing mankind was going to be rebellious and He couldn't save but one family. That family named Noah. But He's still going to bring it to pass. Can I tell you, it can look like God's about to fail in what He said, but praise be to Him, He's got a plan that will always come to pass. So whatever evil you got your eye on in this country, let me tell you, God will prevail. God said it. And another thing is, God loved you and me so much that He sent His Son Jesus. For we all know it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, I've had a lot of moments prepared for me in the years, like birthdays and different things like that. But I want you to take this a little personal this morning. As if this moment that we celebrate this time of the year was meant for you. Meant for you. Well, so Pastor, I wasn't there 2,000 years ago. But I'm going to tell you, it's meant for you. God planned this occasion for you. When He went to the cross, you were on His heart. Why? Because He already planned the occasion for you. Jesus loves us so much that He goes through extremes to provide for us in such a way, not for those temporary, well, He'll give us temporary things, but He provides for us with eternal things. Things that will last forever. I buy something and I want it to last forever. And sometimes it's like you need to change your clothes or get some different clothes. Those are back in the 60s. But let me tell you, what we have with God is eternal because of what we celebrate of His Son coming through the Virgin Mary. Yes, she was a virgin. The devil tries to destroy this story. Why? Because this story is an amazing act of God. An amazing moment of God providing provision for you and me that we could have a Savior. Hallelujah. That's why He sends out the liars in the social media and the books that are contradicting the story, is because He knows the amazing thing. And He tried for 33 and a half years to try to kill Jesus before that. But Christ surrendered His life at the right moment and said, it is finished. What? The whole job that started at that manger. Oh, you and I could have life.